Thank you for coming.
Karen, as far as we have a number of things to review, and this is, none of this is taking your transition. Basically, reviewing and making recommendations to help.
Actually, it would be actual action today, and that's how we help. So, no, that's okay. We don't do this very often. The executive committee actually has the authority to provide us to take action. And what we have in front of you is the personnel policy revisions that we will need in place in order to move forward with COVID-19 changes for this year. We met with the union on the 12th of October and discussed some of these changes. They're still in the process of setting up a vote and deciding to be that we're under the understanding that we're going to be in agreement with us here. That being said, in order for us to actually sign the vendor changes that we need to sign, we need to have this done. So we can still set up open enrollment in December and stay in line. And so there's a lot that's changing. We have had all of this reviewed by legal counsel, in most cases multiple legal counsels from different angles. So the first one is the annual cash-out or conversion option. This looks like a really substantive change to policy. That being said, the main thing that's changing is just when we would pay out the PTO conversion. The way it's worded right now in the current policy, it says we pay it out as of the pay rate as of December 31st. But in a different policy, we say our pay increases take place on whatever payroll January 1st falls in. And from a tax perspective, we can't count people getting a pay increase on the PTO. So it's a big overhaul, but it's just a small change. We're trying to get the money. The personal holiday is adding a personal holiday, one for the first half of the year, one for the second half of the year. So we do have to take one personal holiday before the 30th and one personal holiday before the end of the year. Currently, we have one personal holiday before the end of the year. The conversations around this was one. So, it is different from PTO in that it doesn't approve. You either have it or you don't have it. And then it's paid out based on your prorated hours. So if you're full time, it's an 8-hour day. If you're 20 hours a week, it's a 4-hour day. You have to take it in a full day increment, whatever the duration is. And you can't carry it over into the following year. The next part is the employee benefit. Those are the bigger changes. So we currently have a benefit credit structure that we inherited when I became director. It's been in place longer than Affordable Care Act. And what we have tried to do is provide a benefit credit for people to choose different benefit options. And health insurance is one of those options. But we run into the situation with health insurance continuing to increase and fewer and fewer people taking health insurance. And so the current structure actually is incentivizes not taking primary insurance, which has the premiums on it. So through conversations, we are recommending that we provide single health coverage, long-term disability insurance, and life insurance to all employees who are eligible. If they're not eligible, that would mean they have health insurance elsewhere. So we can't allow people to choose. That's the language. You can't actually use a single cafeteria plan if you're ineligible. In practice, it's not that different from what we're doing in terms of whether you have the insurance. It's just the language. However, whether people receive benefits and how that looks will change. So our proposal would have single health coverage for all employees, which is what we're required to do under the Affordable Care Act. Long-term disability was something that came through LLC discussions with the union and life insurance. Currently, our policy says we offer single health coverage, dental, and life insurance. So that's a change. We would continue to offer dental as a voluntary benefit, but no longer provide coverage as an employer. most of the other changes are based on recommendations from benefits legal counsel. So the flexible spending account, the way it's structured now, is not something we continue to offer, because what we're also suggesting is that we move to higher level deductibles for insurance and provide an HSA contribution instead. And that amount would be the checks every year that we set the budget for. So what we would start out with is moving from a 1,500 deductible single health plan to a 3,500 or 3,100. We currently have a 1,500 and a 3,100. In order to kind of maintain net aggregate value, that we would provide a $250 HSA credit in addition to the insurance. But that's something we still need to structure within the cafeteria plan. First, we have to set up the policy so that we can redline that and set up. I don't know how far into detail you want to go on all the other changes, but for the most part, the biggest change is the fact that even if we don't start eligible for the insurance, we no longer receive the $500 monthly HRA credit. That would go away. We would continue to $250 cash in front of it with the HRA itself. And that would limit Great River's liability. This benefit structure is available to 64 positions currently, with 63 employees who are working as of the 14th of August. All 64 positions filled currently, but it still doesn't fit many people. So we have 63 employees to be eligible for benefits. Currently, we have 38 on the health insurance of those 63. So what we're trying to do is being on the health insurance, because when we first put the HRA in place, we not on the insurance, but what we've struggled with is we've been trying to provide this benefit credit, and so from a budgetary standpoint, we're only going to raise it to the lowest amount possible, which is health coverage, but our family insurance rates have grown up exponentially. At one point, we covered, I think, about 80% of family premiums, and we're at 49% as of 2022. So we would provide an additional amount for those taking family coverage to also incentivize that. Assuming that union agreement passed, which we don't know yet, but we're hopeful based on the discussions, this would still be a budget neutral proposition at this point because of all the restructuring that's happening. Moving that HRA credit, moving dollars into the HSA, moving to a higher deductible, and taking re-inclusion for employer coverage. It's a lot of changes, but it's basically a big overhaul, and hopefully a reset that puts better, more care for staff and the employer.
Just from the process standpoint, if it did have budget implications, then I don't think we're going to be sharing. We have
one around a legal issue, and we guys wanted to approve the union contracts. Ed and Randy aren't here, but they are moving on the executive committee and are fully aware of what's going here and the deadlines to sell it. But things changed for a week ago, so. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but we did talk about this before.
So with that said, make a motion.
Sure. I make a motion that we approve to add 2.1 provisions to policy personnel policies that are for us.
We may be having another executive
meeting.
Hopefully before Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's going to get harder and harder. Well, thank you. Thanks for making this, Gary.
adjourned?
403.